It's a great delight today for me to present to you my pastor. I am the most delinquent sheep in his flock. And so I present him to you today as one of the most patient and loving and understanding pastors in the entire earth. I love Shannon Scott, and he has been a blessing to my life in more ways than I can possibly tell you. Since January of 1978, he has been the pastor of Mount Vernon Baptist Church. Folks, that's the way you do it. You go and you stay, and you become the pastor of the church, and you just love it right into full maturity. And we thank the Lord for that long and gracious ministry there in the church. He's a graduate of Campbell University and then of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Serves on boards of trustees of the North Raleigh Christian Academy and New Life Camp here in Raleigh. His wife, Zelma, is here today. Zelma, I want you to stand up where they can see you, please, ma'am. And we welcome you. And also, there are quite a number of his church members here today. His more faithful sheep have come too. And that includes quite a number of our professorial staff and students. All of you who are members of Mount Vernon, would you stand a moment so we can just see how many of you there are right here today? Okay. Very good. I don't want to take unfair advantage of the opportunity, but if you're a new student and haven't moved your letter yet, have not joined a church locally, shame on you. We're 3 weeks into the semester. What are you waiting for? Do you just want to admit to the world that you're hopelessly backslidden and that you have no intention of serving the Lord locally? It's unthinkable. So we'll look for you at Mount Vernon on Sunday morning with preparation to place your church membership there and serve with us. I also want you to know our speaker's parents, because you've seen them around a lot. They live in Zebulun, but they are regular attenders here in chapel. And so, Scott, I want you all to stand so they can see you all. We're so glad to have you with us today. I know that Brother Scott's been here enough that you thought he was a Ph.D. student studying toward completion of his degree, but the truth of the matter is that he's a wonderful layman who comes and to chapel frequently, and his wife. And by the way, they are my most faithful contributors week after week after week to make your education much more reasonable. So if you have an ounce of gratitude in your heart, you'll come see the Scotts and tell them, thank you for keeping my tuition low. They're almost personally responsible for it. And so come see them at the close of the service today and thank them too. I'll tell you what I love most about my pastor. My pastor may be the most humble man I've just about ever known. I sometimes, when I do go to church over there, I get a little irritated at him because he just blends into the background. He's always pushing somebody else forward, you know, kind of like I do. He just is a perfect amazement to me. I have a sweet, humble servant of God, and I've come to love him so profoundly. I'm glad to have him here today. John Foreman, Master of Arts and Church Music student, is going to come sing How Great Thou Art, and then listen with open heart and mind to the message of Shannon Scott.
Thank you. We praise the Lord for the opportunity to be with you and what God's doing here in your lives, in the professors, and our president. God's doing a great thing here that I haven't seen other places. We had the privilege of visiting Southwestern a few months ago, and I'll tell you, they haven't seen what's happening here. And a lot of it's what's happening in your hearts. And I want to see it, as we sung a few minutes ago, shine, Jesus, shine. I want to see him shine through you all over our whole convention. And I was talking to our president, asking him, he tells you everything, but he hasn't told you he's running for president of our convention yet, has he? Amen. All right. I've seen God use him in a great way here. You've experienced it. You're going to be at Salt Lake City, aren't you? And forget this 200 business. You can do 1,000 easy. And let's do it and blow them out of the water and let God just bring a revival all over our whole convention like he's doing here in Wake Forest and the surrounding areas. Pray God will do it. We'll join you in that. You have the privilege of hearing different people at chapel that I never got an opportunity to hear. We heard theologians, and I never heard another thing about them. You know, they'd come in chapel, and they were supposed to be great and written so many great books, you know, and I've still got some of them in my library wondering what I'm going to do with those books. Nobody will buy them, nobody wants them, and, you know, they were great. But you have the privilege that I would have loved to had of hearing some great men of God day after day here. And I trust you realize it's a tremendous opportunity. You have the privilege of reading books that they have never allowed me to read. And find out what God's really doing. And everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to be maybe like some of the great folks you get to hear and study about. Maybe you say, I'd like to be like some of the professors. I want us to think today about what a successful man and woman of God really is. Now, I know there's a lot of books on it, and I see folks, you know, they take these down and they follow the pattern, and I'm going to do just like this guy did, and do it just like he did. And, you know, things haven't changed a bit. In my day, you know, they were dressing like R.G. Lee. Now they want to dress down and say, you know, we're going to be kind of contemporary, and we're gonna do it like this guy, Willow Creek, you know, and we're going to, you know, we follow continually pattern after other people. And I don't find that in the Bible. You know, I know God used Moses, but he didn't tell Joshua, be like just like Moses. God took every great man of God and made him great uniquely after he worked in his life. But you don't find folks, well, you know, you got to get their book and find out how they did it and pattern just like they did it. I don't want you to do like me. I want you just to take the book, the Bible, and find out what does God want for me to be a successful man or woman of God. Now, the Word of God has it. I want us to look at that to see exactly what the Bible says we're to be. In order to do that, you're going to have to stand up and listen to the Word of God. Stand. That's exactly what God told Ezekiel. Stand to your feet, man. I want to talk to you. He said, son of man, I got some things I want to talk to you about. Ezekiel chapter 2, 1 through 8. You know, when you stand, you're not sitting in an easy chair and say, well, that's nice, and fall off to sleep. I believe the reason God told Ezekiel to stand is he says, when I talk, you do. Don't lay around. That's different from other things. You sit around, look at TV, but when you get God's word, you stand up and get ready and say, I'm going to do something. All right, Ezekiel chapter 2, starting with verse 1, and he said unto me, to Ezekiel, son of man, that's what he calls him, called him that 100 times, stand upon your feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered unto me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that he spake unto me. And he said unto me, son of man, I'm going to send thee to the children of Israel, to rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me. They got a history of it. Even unto this very day. For they are impotent children and stiff-hearted, and I will send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and though thou dwellest among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house, for thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious
Like that rebellious house, open thou mouth and eat what I give thee. Let's be seated. Everybody's got an idea of what a man of God ought to be like, or a woman. You know, you get to talk to pulpit committees, enjoy. They have really got some ideas about what a preacher ought to be like. And you listen to all that, and then you go to churches, and they got an idea, and they say, "Now, preacher, here's what we want you to be like. We want you to do this and that and the other," and they got all this written down, and sometimes some of you say, "Where is it in the Bible?" Well, you know, we're not dealing with that. This is what we want. And then, you know, after you get to be pastor, then they're going to tell you still, "Well, pastor, here's what you ought to be like. You know, my preacher back where I come from, here's the way he did things. And you know what? You ought to do it that way too." Some have been married to a preacher. Some of them had preachers for parents. And they've got their idea, and they say, "You know, boy, my daddy, you know, he was always like this, and this is the way you need to be, you know, if you're going to be a great preacher." Well, that's fine. Everybody's got their opinion. And I tell you, you go out and you try to please all that crowd, you'll just quit. You can't do it. You'll be frustrated. You'll say, "You know, I just can't please the deacons. I can't please my church. Can't please my friends." We don't have to do that. There's just one person that we've got to please and do what he says. And that's the one that was talking to Ezekiel. And I want us to notice a few things about the way God put this man out, and he puts us out the same way. First of all, he said, "Ezekiel, I want you to stand up and listen to me." And you notice something he says in verse 2, "And the Spirit of God entered my heart." I'll tell you now, the first thing, if you're going to be a great preacher, you better have the Spirit of God in your heart. You know, I know some folks get upset when you ask them, "Are you a Christian? Do you have Jesus living in your heart?" I visited one of you here, and you know who I'm talking about. I loved it. I asked, "Do you know the Lord?" And they, yes, you know, and they share with me about how they got saved. And they say, "You know, we found everybody around here claims to be a Christian. Can I ask you?" And they knew I was a preacher because they'd been visiting the church. "Are you really born again?" I love it. You know, I got to share my own personal salvation. You know, when I went to the seminary, we had a lot of guys come in here to avoid the draft, Vietnam. That's the only reason they came to the seminary. As long as they stayed in school, they didn't have to go to Vietnam. If you dropped out, it was immediate to Vietnam. So when I came here, folks were coming to avoid Vietnam. You know what I've noticed? There are some that are coming today to the seminary to avoid anybody approaching them and say, "Are you born again? Do you have Jesus living in your heart?" "Oh, I'm a seminary student. You don't talk to me that way." You better believe I do. And I've had some of you get mad because you say, "You know, I'm a seminary student." And you know the audacity of that pastor? He came right in my home and asked me if I was born again and saved. Amen. You better believe it. I've done it to every professor I get a chance. I've done it to our president. I'll do it to every single person. Don't hide under the cloak of a seminary and say, "Well, because I'm in the seminary, I'm going to get to heaven." Absolutely not. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're not going to get there. One day, he's coming, and you know what? There better be a receiver inside of you personally, or you're not going to get the message when he comes back. You tune in the radio, all kinds of stations. Brother, you better have Jesus inside of you if you're going to hear the trumpet when he comes. And when he comes, then the crowd's going to be taken. I don't know who's going to carry on here at the seminary after you leave and a few of the saved folks leave. I don't know who's going to carry on, but they'll get somebody. I won't, but somebody will. First thing you notice, he's got the Spirit of God in him. So he's able to listen, tuned into God. And the Lord says to him now, verse 3, "I'm going to send you to the children of Israel." If you're going to be God's person, you better go where God sends you. I hear folks keep saying, "I want a good church. I want to go to a good place." Friend, a good place is where God sends you. You know, I had one fella come to me, and He said, "Oh, Shannon, you are so smart. You just really know how to pick the churches." Friend, I didn't pick it. You know, he said, "You know, I told my son," his son was going to ministry. He said, I told him, "You do like Shannon. You go find a suburban area and you find a growing area and do whatever you can to get in that kind of church." And I thought, brother, you'd never gone to the church I went to. I went because God told me. Now, I went to one of my churches I went to. I'll never forget, I got the demographics on it, you know, and they said, "Oh, CP&L has already put all the power out there." They said across from that church, there's going to be thousands of homes go up, and said, "You know, boy, that's the place to go." Well, I went there. And it's been 25 years since I was at that church. And you know what? There hasn't been a house built in that area yet. I came to Mount Vernon, little Church of God kind of looking building. Nice neighborhood. Went and got the demographics on it. And they said, "You know, that's a ridge called North Ridge. And all the houses going to be built have already been built there. Folks can't pump the sewer over top of that hill. And all the growth is finished. It's going to happen over at the airport." They told me that 20 years ago. If you've driven down Falls of News Road, you'll see. Friend, God knows what man doesn't know. I saw, got all those demographics. I was a pastor in a larger church. I kept asking God why, and he said, "Just go." And that's what I did. I went. And I've seen God do things, not because of me. I've just seen God do. He said to Ezekiel, "I'm going to send you." You know where I'm going to send you? Notice what he says. He says in verse 3, "They're a rebellious nation." Man, I mean, they're just like their fathers. That church has got a history of it. Now, Ezekiel is kind of a high-class kind of individual, priestly family. You know, he could have said, "You know, I deserve a classy kind of area." God says, "No, I'll tell you where I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you to a rebellious people." And he keeps talking about it. He just doesn't quit. In verse 4, he says, "They're cocky." You ever seen any church folks like that? I hear folks say, "Come on, give me a good church. You know, I got a rebellious folks. They won't hear anything. They won't listen." Friend, where else do you think God wants you? He doesn't need you in a good place. He wants you in a bad place. He wants you in a bad countries. Some folks say, "Well, you know, I want to go where everything's happening." Friend, God wants you in the worst kind of place. That's where the devil is. He wants us right in the middle of the pit. We got the Lord in us, don't we? Scripture says, "Greater is he that's in us than in the world." Let's go in the pit of hell and let's take it. Take those places nobody else will take. And say, "Hey, I got the Lord." He said, "Go." You know, he goes on and say, "They're stiff-hearted." That's hard shell, hard-hearted, hard-headed. We got all those kind of words for it. He said, "But I know what they're like. And I'm sending you there, Ezekiel. That's where I want you to go." Now, I tell you, right now you have an opportunity to find out God's will. Some of you just moved here. Friend, if you can't pray, you know why Dr. Patterson's a member of our church? I didn't go courting. I just invited him, gave it up to God, and said, "God, you got to talk to it." And that's the way it happened. That's the way I like every person to come. You pray about it, God led you, and you move. If you can't know God's will now about where to go to church, how on earth are you going to know the leading of God to a place of ministry? Learn now. "God, I want to know your will. Talk to me. Lead me on." Start now leaning on the Lord to direct your life. And friend, you're not going to be able to figure out the will of God. You just do it. You say, "God, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense." I've told God that over and over again, but you just walk by faith. When he says do it, you do it. You say, "Why on earth does God want me to go to that awful country?" Because God said do it. And if you don't like a place, you can pretty well get ready and pack your bags I found wherever you say, God, I absolutely hate, he'll send you there. He's just got that kind of spirit about him, so watch it. All right, you notice the next thing. He calls him to go, and a man of God or a woman of God goes where God tells them. Second thing, they say what God says. Verse 4, he said, they're not going to listen to you, but here's what I want you to say. Thus saith the Lord God. That's all I want you to do. Just give them the word of God. You know, I've been amazed at what God can do with just simply preaching the word. I don't have a bunch of gimmicks and plans or programs or anything like that. I don't know much, not very smart. But you know what? I've watched as I've just given God's word and what God does. I mean, he saves folks. He changes folks. He builds churches. He can throw folks out just over the word of God. He can do all sorts of things. All you have to do is just take the word of God and say, I'm just going to do it. And God works. That's all it takes. Just be committed to it. I tell you, we got a crowd in our convention, friend, you know, don't believe it, and they're not going to preach it. I'm concerned, though, about those who claim they believe it and won't preach it. They get up and, you know, they act like they're so smart and they want to talk about everything they know. When the word of God, friend, is the eternal wisdom, give that. And quit trying to depend on what you know. And notice what he says now. Look, you know, I know some of you preach a few times and folks say, oh, you're so great. You know, you're just going to be a great preacher, you know, and you just believe all that stuff. And then, you know, you become the pastor, and then after they get to know you, they tell you the truth. You know, they'll come up to you and say, you know, you can't preach. I don't like you preaching. And, you know, you'll be trying to preach, and they're sitting there, you know, with their head down the whole time. And you're wondering, they don't like me. No, they don't. Face it. If you're going to preach the word, there's going to be a lot of people who won't like you. Accept it. That's life. That's what he told Ezekiel. He said, look, you're going to give them my word. He said in verse 5, they're rebellious. They're not going to listen to you. You're going to be like living in, he says in verse 6, among scorpions, spiders, snakes, and everything else. He said, don't get upset with their looks. Because they're a rebellious house. Not only that, in verse 7, he said, you speak my words, they're not going to listen to you. You're going to have some folks who put their fingers right in their ears while you're preaching. And you're going to say, oh, no, I'm in the wrong place. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're right where God's called you. If God's called you, you go on. I don't know of a preacher yet that's preached that hasn't had people who said, I don't like it. I don't like you. I don't like your sermon. I don't like what you say. But you just get back and just give them God's word. And no, he said that's going to happen. Ezekiel doesn't go around and cry, you know, they didn't like what I said. No, they're not going to like it. Accept it, friend. That's life. If you're preaching God's word, the devil never has liked it. He's going to twist it. He's going to change it. He's going to do everything in the world. And he's going to try to destroy you. Know it. We're in battle. Praise God for a calling from God and an opportunity to give wisdom from all the ages, and give it. Do it anyway. And watch what God does when we give the word of God. He said, now look, in verse 8, they're going to be rebellious, but I want you just to eat what I give you. Chapter 3 is great. We don't have time to keep going. I'd love to, but you know, chapter 3, he says, I want you just to eat the word of God. I tell you what keeps you going. It's when you get back into the word of God and he blesses your heart, and then you've got something to pass on to somebody else. The other day I was in one of these restaurants, and they had what they call sinful chocolate pie. And the folks were, you just got to try this sinful pie. So I took a bite of that sinful chocolate. I'm telling you, they looked at my face when I ate it. It was so sweet. Huh. I have never tasted anything so sweet in my life. It just showed all over my face. They just looked there and just laughed. They said, you know, I wish we had a picture of your face. It showed all over. When you ate that chocolate, it's something else. It was. I tell you what, when you eat the Word of God, it's going to show all over your face. I mean, when you personally consume it. No, I'm not talking about commentaries, devotional books, or other books. Get to the pure, unadulterated Word of God. Read it. And say, God, talk to me. And when you finish in your home study or wherever you are, it'll show all over your face. And then you get out and you give it to them and say, you know, I just eaten of this today. I got something to feed you. Give it out. Some of them are going to be mad. Some of them are not going to like it. But you know what's kept me going? I watch the ones like little birds in the congregation that just got saved. They're hungry as they can be. They're like little birds with their mouth open. And I see little sire puss over here, you know, and one has got his head buried in some hymn book, you know, acting like he's spiritual, or somebody over there claiming reading the Bible and all. I don't even look at those folks. You know, I just look at little bird over here, hungry as they can be. I give them the Word. Here's another bird back over there, just starved to death. Give them the Word. Keep doing it for those little hungry souls all over the place. No, first of all, you're called by God. Go where God calls you. Second, give the Word of God. Third thing, in verse 5. He's already told them, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to care a bit in the world. But I tell you, here's all I want you to do. I just want them to know there's been a prophet among them. That's all. That's success. What success? Just that there's been a man of God among. Oh, I thought it was to have hundreds saved. You know, if we could just have our church on the list of the fastest growing churches. No, 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 no. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out God's criteria has been entirely different from ours. It is that person who said, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll preach what you want me to preach. And if they don't listen, it doesn't make any difference at all. I just want them to know a man of God has been among them. One pastor told me recently, I think I'm the only man of God in the whole church. You might be that, but be it. One church I was pastoring stood on the Word. Deacons got together and they didn't like it. They said, well, we understand you got your convictions. We'll just get another preacher in to take care of this matter. They did. Did I run off and leave? No, I didn't. I stayed right on. They had to see me. I just kept the Spirit of God in my heart and just said, Lord, help me to love them instead, in spite of it. Some time ago, I saw one of the teenagers. They'd grown up and she was talking to me. She said, I'll never forget. I'll never forget God's Word on the air you stood on. She said, you know, it was imprinted in our church's life. I know what the church did. Everybody else does. And you took a defeat, but you wouldn't quit. And we never got over it. Sometime, friend, when you just stand and you're all alone, and you just stand on the Word of God, sometimes God just blows it up and shows, there's the man of God. You say, nobody seems to accept it. None of the leadership seem to recognize, I'm God's person. There's always been a crowd, friend. Always been a crowd of prophets. You remember when Jehoshaphat was with Ahab in 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat said, you know, we need a word from God on whether we ought to go to battle or not. And they said, okay, we'll call them in. They called 400 prophets of God, the scripture says then. And they gave the word, and Jehoshaphat said, but isn't there another man of God? And they said, yeah, there's one more, Malchi. Ahab said, I don't like him. He never says anything I like. Praise God for the Malchias, the Elijahs, the Moseses, the ones that are men of God, who will stand and say, I know there's a lot, but I'm going to be the one that's going to stand on the Word of God. You be that in our day. That's a successful man of God. Call where God called you. Say only what God says. And just be. Just be with your life and all you are, a real prophet of God.